In the meantime, while we're on the topic of NBA and trying to figure things out, who better to bring in than Steve Ashburner, senior writer for NBA.com, at Ash, A-S-C-H, NBA on Twitter. Steve, thank you so much for spending a few minutes here with TK in the Midday on ESPN 700 in Salt Lake City.
Glad to do it. Thanks for having me on.
So I'm talking about the Bucks. They're coming in here Friday, and I'm trying to piece together what has happened to them in the big picture, because they looked for all eyes like a year or two ago, like they had things that were young and exciting, and you know the Greek Freak was rolling, and Jason Kidd seemed to be a good fit there. What has happened there?
Well, I think a few things have gone on, and some of it you can chalk up to their, you know, part of the development process, and some of it you can't. Some of it is a disappointment and makes you wonder about, you know, whether they are on the right track. The early stuff, I mean, the initial stuff is you expected that it would be hard to come back and just go 500 and better after getting to a surprising 500 and making the first round as the sixth seed in the East. That they overachieved, let's face it. I mean, they improved by 26 games, I think it was, in Jason Kidd's first season there as head coach. And they did so even though, their top draft pick was done by the end of December, Jabari Parker. So, you know, it didn't make a lot of sense that they had taken such a big stride. So we thought they'd take a little step backwards and, you know, might have to struggle to get back to a 500 season. What's disappointed me about the Bucks is, you know, I covered that first round that they played against Chicago, and you know they were very resilient. It was as if they took a punch in the mouth, and they came back stronger against the Bulls team. And I just don't think that they've shown resilience at all this season. I think they've missed some veterans. You wouldn't think it by the names involved necessarily: Zaza Pachulia, Jared Dudley, even Ersan Ilyasova. You wouldn't think, you know, okay, those guys are renowned as locker room voices or anything, but on a team with a bunch of equals and rather young ones, I think that those guys probably did, you know, add some heft and get them through some tough times. And then Kidd, you know, very odd timing of his hip surgery. I don't know that it was mandatory that he have it then. There were questions about that. There's still people wonder if his heart is fully into coaching and if he might not prefer to be up in the front office. And, you know, if a young team picks up any whiff of that, you know, that's going to get them sideways as well. So it's really a disappointing year for the Bucks. I think Giannis Antetokounmpo needed to make a bigger stride than he has. I'm not sure still what he's good at. You know, he's a little bit of a victim of his own versatility and freakishness. So, you know, multiple things. They're eminently beatable these days, and so, you know, the Jazz's opportunity to keep the winning streak alive is good.
Yeah, no doubt. Senior writer Steve Ashburner with NBA.com joining us here at AshNBA on this NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700. Michael Carter-Williams came in, and another curious acquisition, although he's long, and it looked like it should have worked out well, but is that a chemistry thing?
Well, I mean, it's also the kind of player he is, I think. A lot of us cut him slack and figured tough for a point guard to be traded at the deadline last season and have full command of, you know, the assets on the floor with him. So you thought a training camp was going to make all the difference, and it has not. He's still not, you know, the kind of reliable shooter that you need. This is a league that really relies a lot on, point guard scoring. And I just think he's been too inconsistent. And frankly, Jared Bayless, when he's been out there, has been the more stabilizing influence.
Steve, you mentioned something that really piqued my interest: the Jason Kidd thing. You know, he talked himself out of New Jersey, which in retrospect was genius, frankly. But now, yeah. The surgery. I'm like, hip in the middle, like early season. Couldn't you have done that in like July? I mean, these are real good questions, wondering about what his commitment, and the players get that, don't they? They pick up on that pretty quickly.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. I think the it was almost as if he saw, wait a minute, Steve Kerr can kick back and have an extended illness or injury layoff. Why not? You know, it's just odd. He's a very inscrutable guy. He's hard to read in terms of, you know, just what his full agenda is. Mm-hmm. And I think he set a bad tone by the way he got the Bucks job. There was a head coach there when he made the call saying he wanted to be head coach, and he got hired even before the other guy got fired. So, I mean, that broke with protocol and decorum in this league, and just made you raise your eyebrows and say, that's different. You know, for a guy who, now I'm not going to say in his business dealings as a player, but certainly on the floor was a consummate team guy. Mm-hmm. It didn't seem very team first. There was a lot of I in what kid's been doing, since he's been a player.
That's a great point. Again, the Bucks in here tomorrow night taking on the Jazz, and what do you make of the Jazz? I mean, they obviously Dante Exum, their point guard of the future, is not around, dealing with the ACL. We won't really know, you know, if he's the guy till maybe end of next season. Favors has been hurt. He's back. Gobert obviously is a keeper. Gordon Hayward looks more comfortable than ever and is playing up to the max contract he has.
Yeah.
What is your sense of what they have? And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about going to get Jeff Teague because they really do need a point guard now.
Yeah, and see, I still like Jeff Teague. I'm not 100% sure what's gotten things off track for.
They want to give the job to Schroeder. Is that what it did? They like him better.
Yeah, right. And that's nothing to be ashamed of. I mean, and if you simply get beat out, or you're a better option or the other guy's a better option for the roster that they're on right now. You know, I just think this is too short of a time of dissatisfaction with Jeff Teague to kick him to the curb, and so if I would think he'd be a highly coveted player at the trade deadline. I mean, to have a point guard who can organize your offense and get things done, I just think that's a valuable commodity. So depending on what the price would be,
right?
And again, there could be multiple teams involved that would bid up that price. I don't think Atlanta's just gonna cut him loose for a couple second round picks. So that is a consideration, but I like Jeff Teague. I haven't found any reason not to like him, and based on his full track record versus, maybe what's going on in both in games and in practices within the Hawks' situation.
Yeah, so you're saying, I guess if I can connect the dots, that it would be a nice pickup for the Jazz. I mean, you know, right now, Howell Neto, the rookie from Brazil, is starting and defending and actually playing well, but he's a backup, I think, in this league. And, you know, Trey Burke, you know, the jury's still out, although they're just dissatisfied with his defense. And so it seems to me you like Teague. He would be a good fit here, and I'm just looking at the veteran young guys on the team looking to make some, looking at management to make some kind of a move, because the West is kind of down. You go on a winning streak and they could be the sixth or seventh seed.
Well, and you don't want to wait. I mean, if you've got some guys now that have, been there a little bit in terms of Favors and Hayward, you want your point guard to be in sync with that. You know, you don't want to nurse along younger guys if they're going to require that. I mean, if you do that, you do it from a backup role. But no, I think Jeff T would fit. He's a strong character guy, which, has always been important in Utah. And
sure.
I like that if they can get him without giving up much.
I love what you said on one of your recent columns. It's Hang Time or whatever you got. I can't remember the name of it, but when you said you'd like to see Steph in the slam dunk. I mean, last night was just, again, one of those Steph nights. Just preposterous. I think 7 threes in the first quarter, 25, 36 in the first half. You saw it. I mean, and now to get him into the dunk contest, that would be kind of fun.
Yeah, why not? He's having one of those years where he's doing everything. Let's see if he truly can do everything. We've had we've had big guys win the three-point shooting contest. Why not let him get in there and surprise people with what he could do? Now, look, I know he's not a dunker. I just thought it would be a playful idea, but the Warriors are having such a year, both as a team and with Curry again. I mean, they go to the White House today. If I was one of the top contenders from either party for 2016, I might be a little nervous that Steph Curry doesn't leave. Or maybe Riley Curry would stay there and dominate the press conference.
Yeah, she obviously loves the lights and the occasion. As we get ready to exit, and I'll cut you loose here, as you look at the West, the sense is the West is going to probably win the title again. I mean, I guess the Cavs could pull it together, and There may be some other teams. But between what you've seen from the Warriors, which is, you know, mind-boggling, and yet the Spurs are kind of right there, what do you think of that? I mean, we're looking ahead and we're making lots of assumptions, but what do you think of that series?
Well, I mean, the one thing that Cleveland has going for it is they have a relatively smooth path to the finals.
Yes, they do.
I think they're head and shoulders better talent-wise, experience, and having, you know, the best all-around player in the game in LeBron James still. I just think that it's an easier path for them. So if they don't have to exert themselves too much, if they don't get, you know, bumped and bruised along the way, you know, in an excessive way, then, you know, they should be sitting there for the survivor of the West. And now you could say, well, you know, if Golden State and San Antonio go to seven games, I mean, somebody's going to be dog tired. Now, they might not be that beat up because, you know, Golden State's not that physical and San Antonio only a little more so. But just in terms of what those games, how draining they might be, I mean, when you have best against best, and I think they are the two best teams in the league, you know, we're all hoping to have that. But that could soften up whoever survives it in a way that works right into the Cleveland Cavaliers' hands. So, you know, I would pick the West entry for the finals, but I don't know that it would be overwhelming. And when I saw what LeBron James did with Matthew Dellavedova and Tristan Thompson in the finals last year, I was one of those guys that actually voted for him to be the finals MVP from the losing team. I thought that was so impressive.
Absolutely.
So if they've got their act together by then, you know, I think Cleveland and you take a step down to maybe OKC as fourth best.
Right. And if you're the Spurs, how do you attack that Warriors team? I mean, I'm not sure. They play three more times. They play at the end of March and then twice in April, and so we'll get a good feel for that. And I'm not sure it'll have the same intensity as a playoff series. But I mean, I don't even know how you attack them other than, you know, you got to cover Steph when you're on offense, basically, before transition starts.
Yeah, really. That's a good point. You know, I did a story during the finals last year talking to people around the league about what you do against this team and who might match up. And, you know, one thing that you potentially can exploit is they are a high turnover team. They play at such a pace that they're willing to accept. I think they might have had 17 turnovers last night, something like that.
Yeah,
they had a high number. And so if you're able to turn those against them, I mean, that's a great equalizer. You have them backpedaling then, especially if they're live ball turnovers. I still am waiting to see. Now, I don't know what the price would be in terms of fouls accumulated, free throws then made, or even, you know, discipline of some sort or technical. I still am waiting to see teams get physical with Steph Curry and the other Warriors to the degree that it throws
Great
him,
point.
Or at least tries to throw him off his game.
Yeah, you have to. You can't let him have a free run up and down, especially over a 6 or 7 game series. And, you know, we saw it a couple of years ago when they played in the playoffs, and that's kind of what, you know, the Spurs are never going to, like, be dirty, but they're going to, you know, they're going to bump him and run him through screens and make him, you know, make him feel it, right? And that's about the only way you can slow down his legs.
Yeah, you've got to work him when he's on the defensive end. You can't just let him hide, and you have to make it, you know, painful is probably overstating it, but you have to make him feel it, and it has to take a little bit of a toll so that maybe he's not quite as comfortable, you know, for that, you know, unbelievable catch and release that he goes with. So, yeah, I think those are the two best chances. Obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge, I think his manhood got challenged with the last meeting.
Yep.
Not farewell. And, you know,
and 25 turnovers, too. They turned it over 25 times, and, you know, that'll drive Pop crazy.
There you go. Yeah. So, you know, they've got to play at the top of their game, and then they have to figure out ways to counter the best of what Golden State does. And, you know, then you have to figure out a way to do it when you're, you know, Tony Parker has to be able to defend somebody. And, you know, and I saw them throw some zone at Cleveland. And Cleveland didn't have any trouble attacking the zone. And so, you know, Golden State would not, the way they shoot the ball.
Right. Well, Steve, it's been a real treat for us. And folks don't know, you're really working on, because this is a vacation week as you move in Chicago. We appreciate your taking your free time and giving it to us. Great stuff. We appreciate your joining us here on this NBAWire.com fast break here on ESPN 700. Steve Ashburner, senior writer, NBA.com, and at Ash, A-S-C-H, N-B-A, at Ash N-B-A on Twitter. Thank you so much. Great insight. We'll catch up with you as we approach the playoffs, maybe.
Yeah, you got it. Who doesn't vacation in February in Chicago, right?
and move.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know. You know, we're figuring we'd be stepping through snow. We got lucky. But, yeah, glad to do it. Enjoy talking with you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve.
Bye-bye.